There was a story once told of a couple of men who crashed on a desert island. They were marooned on this island. And the first man, he just went to pieces. He was like, oh, we're lost. There's no hope. We can't survive this. We're not going to be able to get through this. We're goners. Second man laid down and very calmly went off to sleep. And when he woke up, the other man was still quite in a state of panic, and he said, my gracious love, how can you go to sleep? How can you be so calm? We're never going to get out of this thing alive. We're goners. It's over. And the second man said, oh, don't worry about it. I make $10,000 a week. And the other guy goes, what in the world does that have to do with anything? $10,000 a week won't rescue us from this island. We're stuck. How can you be so calm just because you make that kind of money? He says, you don't understand. I make $10,000 a week, but I'm a member of a Baptist church. And they're going to come looking for me to make sure that I can take care of my tithe. I saw that silly little story, and I thought I'd share it with you. Because this topic is sometimes a very uncomfortable topic for some of us to talk about. I have to confess that when I was a younger pastor, an associate pastor, I was just afraid to talk about this kind of thing. I said, oh, I shouldn't talk about that. I shouldn't talk about that. It's none of my business. And some of you may say, it is none of your business. Can I tell you something? I don't know what anybody gives around here, so it is none of my business in a sense, okay? I have no idea. But the truth is this. God knows how much you give and why you give and where you give it and whether you tithe or not. And I want you to know, as I've aged, I began to understand that really this issue is not a money issue. Let me say that again. This is not a money issue. Y'all hear that? It's a heart issue. It's a faithfulness issue. And you're going, I never thought about it that way. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. You know, we come to Malachi chapter 3, and that's where we're going to be in the text today. This is the classic passage about tithing, right? If you were to say, where do we go to find, should we tithe, should we not tithe? What do? It's in Malachi chapter 3. That's the one we always go to. And I suspect that this text has been lifted out of context so many times that we miss the big picture. And we look at this and we get all, oh, well, they're talking to me about tithing. They're going to come looking for me. By the way, if you crash on a desert island somewhere, I probably won't, unless I have a way, I'm probably not going to know to come get you, okay? So anyway, I'm just saying, if I know I can, I'll figure out a way, I'll come help you. But the reality is, it's not going to be based on what that guy's story was. In this story, we come across what we call the classic text regarding faithfulness in giving, faithfulness in tithing. And you know, literally the word tithe means a tenth. Y'all know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. So when he addressed that issue, he was speaking to a group of people who were living about 400 years or so before Christ, talking to them about a number of things. And ultimately what he's driving at in the book of Malachi is this. It's not just this issue. You need to hear that. It's way bigger than that. It's about being faithful to God in general. We come to loving yet firm words for them about what they were doing and what they needed to adjust as their hearts adjusted. Now, catch that. Look at verse 7 through 10. And the text says this, from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Verse 8, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And the answer is, in your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Father, I pray that as we look at this topic and this issue, Father, one, that at times, honestly, is uncomfortable for some to listen to, and for some, it's an issue that they struggle with. Father, I pray that you would help them to see that it is a bigger issue than mere financial transaction. But God, ultimately, this is calling us to a faithfulness in our lives that results in a faithfulness in other areas of our lives. And so, Father, I pray that you would show us your truth, help us to see that, help us to understand what you have for us as individuals. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, four things I want you to see about this passage before we try to apply it. And the first one is this, and it's the reality that we all struggle with. Let's just put that to rest. You say, oh, well, pastors don't have this problem. Associate pastors don't have this problem. Deacons don't have this problem. Sunday school teachers don't have this problem. All of us have this problem, no matter what role you hold in the kingdom of God. And it's this: faithfulness is a constant challenge. It is hard to remain faithful all the time. Can I get an amen? It is, okay? I want you to understand what he's doing in this text is speaking to a group of people that have an ongoing struggle that is very much like the ongoing struggle that you and I have in our lives. And it's this: it's hard to stay faithful. It is easy to get off track. It is hard to remain faithful to God. It is easy to start wandering off into areas that are not faithfulness. And so it's an area that we're all going to struggle with. It's a challenge that we have. It's an issue that we have. And what he's speaking to a people here is this. This is a group of people that have become so unfaithful to God, and as a nation, they had been so unfaithful as a nation that a couple hundred years before this text, they had lost their homes, they had lost the temple, they had lost everything. You remember, they went into captivity. And then God did what? You know the story. He brought them out after 70 years and brought them back to the promised land under Nehemiah and some others. And they began to rebuild the temple, rebuild the city of Jerusalem, rebuild their lives and move on. And what he does is he comes into this text and he says, this is something you're struggling with. Look at verse 7, the first part of it. From the days of your fathers, all the way back to your ancestors, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Now, there's a little wordplay going on here that doesn't really come through into the English real well, but there's a set of two words here that are antonyms, and antonyms exact opposite of each other. I want you to see it. The first one is turned aside. That's one choice. You can either turn aside, you can turn away, or you can keep them. Now, he puts it in the negative in the text. He says, I've not kept them, but what he's saying is these are really your two choices. You can either be faithful to God, or you can be what? This is deep stuff, y'all ready? Unfaithful to God. There's really only two choices. There's only two ways. And over again, the people of God in that day had chosen poorly. They had chosen again and again to not be faithful, to not be faithful to God. And the passion that God wanted them to have for him had dwindled. And this idea of passion is this idea. It's something like a fire. If you ever start a fire in your fireplace or out at a campground or something, you know you can't what? Just start it and walk away. What do you got to do to that fire? You got to tend it. You got to work on it. You got to move things around. You got to keep stirring it. Keep stirring the pot a little bit, moving things around. Maybe add some more wood to it. That's the concept that he has here for us, is the idea that we are going to be faithful and we're going to have a passion that we continue to stir up. And if you don't stir it up, it begins to fade. If you don't keep working at it and keep moving along with God, you miss it. Now, the area that he's going to deal with here in a minute is this idea of tithes and contributions. Why? Because it reflects the passion, there's our word, of the heart. You know, we always seem to put our resources in those areas that we think are what? Most important. You know, you see that in what we drive, we see that in what we live, we see that in what we wear, we see that in all the things that we do, whether we give to this charity or that charity or not. What we do with the resources, and we're going to get to that in a minute, is this idea of we give it to God because it's our patience, or we give it to something else. Even those who are in the Lord, that hopefully is most of us, are in this struggle, this constant challenge between faithfulness and unfaithfulness, and how we choose results in how we live our lives. So faithfulness is a constant challenge. Second, repentance then is this, a constant call. When was the last time you repented of anything? See, many of us go, well, I asked Jesus to forgive me when I was a kid and he forgave me and I accepted Christ and I'm good to go. Repentance is not a once and done. Repentance is a constant call. Look at the text here that he gives to him. Return to me. Return to me, the Lord says. What is that? That's repentance. Turning back to God. You know, I would dare say that not a one of us in this room can get up in a morning and not have something that we need to return to God, to repent of and return back to God. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. And then they ask the question, well, how shall we return? We'll get to that in a second. Here's what I want you to see. Malachi voices the voice of God here. He puts it in words and he says here, return to me. Boy, isn't that a beautiful picture, folks? Of God calling out to you, calling out to me and saying, return to me, come to me, be at my side, be at my table, be with me, be in this presence. The imagery here is very stunning because what you find is a word picture of you and I as followers of God turning to God, finding he's waiting for us. You know, there was a song a few years ago, is When God Ran. I don't know if you remember that one, but it was kind of this idea of when we finally repent and we turn to God, not in salvation, though he is there in salvation. I'm talking about those of us who are following Christ. We turn to God in that moment. We repent. When we turn, he's right there waiting. He's not far off. He's not run away. He's not ignored you. He's not walked off from your life and said, good luck. He stands right there waiting for us to turn to him, to return to him, to follow him, to be there. But in their dullness, they ask the question, well, how shall we return? Now, this is kind of an interesting thought. You've got to kind of get into the context of the story. We're 400 years before Christ. The people have been back in the promised land about 150 to 200 years. And here they are. They've rebuilt a temple. They've rebuilt a city. They've rebuilt a culture. They've rebuilt all their stuff. And They think to themselves this. Well, we are faithful. Malachi, we are faithful. Haven't you looked around? We came back from captivity. We came back to the promised land. We returned to you, God, and we have done it. Y'all with me? We're finished. We finished it. Repentance, though, friends, is a constant call. It is not something that they could do once and be done with it. God is calling them to repentance. You see, in their minds, they go, well, we show up for the festivals, we put on the veneer of religion, we're doing the right stuff, but God says, no, no, you need to repent. You need to return to me. And yet, they're blind to their sin. One theologian put it this way. He said, they may have noticed the lack of blessing. Oh, hear this. They may have noticed the lack of blessing, but they hadn't noticed the lack of the presence of God. Folks, it's one thing to not be faithful to God and not really miss it, but it's another thing to miss the very presence and the holiness of God, to be in his presence, to experience his love and his grace and his mercy on a regular basis. They sense something was amiss, but they don't really know what it is. The New Living Translation captured the thought this way. They said to them, how can we return when we've never gone away? How can we return if we've never gone away? And that in their minds is revealing and telling, isn't it? They're going, but God, we've been faithful to you. We've stayed right next to you. We've been right here in your place, in your temple. We've done your things. We've done the thing. We've done the religious thing. We've done the spiritual thing. We've done the activity things. We've done these activities. Folks, God is way more concerned about the attitude of our hearts than he is the externals. Because the attitude of our heart drives the externals. The attitude of what we live in here determines what we do out there. And that's the point he's trying to get them to see, is that if they continued to just do the religious activity, the once and done, they have sorely missed the reality. Repentance is a state of living where a person continues to confess their failings, continues to seek to come in line with holy God, and it results in holy living. You will never get to the presence of God by what you do. It is only found by who you are in Christ. As you're in Christ, the outcome, the result shows in your actions and in my actions. So what do we do? Look at verse 8 and 9. You're probably thinking, well, this isn't much about tithing. Oh, hang on. Verse 8 and 9. Will man rob God? You're going, rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And the answer comes very quickly. What? In tithes and contributions. Verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. And remember, he's not talking directly to us. Y'all, hang in there. He's talking to the nation of Israel, okay? We're going to apply it in a minute, but let's stay with the text and stay with the story of where he's at. Malachi could have talked about a lot of other areas. In fact, he actually, in the broader story of Malachi, talks about a lot of other areas that they haven't been faithful. He's already addressed, and we're only in chapter 3, he's already addressed things like this. Interpersonal relationships, how we deal with each other, profaning the place of worship, of coming into the place of worship with pagans who should not be in the presence of a holy God. And this is a different time, different place. They had tolerated adultery as a culture. They had tolerated sorcery as a culture. They had allowed perjury to go on. They had continued to exploit the poor. He has already, in Malachi, dealt with those. And all of us would say, well, we shouldn't exploit the poor. Well, we shouldn't have sorcerers. Well, we shouldn't have adulterers. We'd all agree on those. So why do we get to this part of the story and go, well, I don't want to talk about that? He lays out that these folks were in a mess and they needed to repent because this disobedience has become in their lives a constant curse. He lays out the idea in this passage here in front of us. You're robbing God. You're stealing from God. Now you go, well, but God, doesn't he own like the cattle on 1,000 hills? And doesn't God really need, how could I rob God? God's got way more than I'll ever have. He doesn't really notice what I've got. Now, as God does already own the cattle on 1,000 hills, it may seem strange, but the biblical notion of possessions is this. You and I, everything we've been given is from the hand of God. You're going, everything. And everything we've been given, he's entrusted to us. And here's an old word, you ready? To steward this stuff. You know, it's not a word we use very often, but steward is the idea. Well, you're way ahead of me there. I don't know where you are in the outline. But anyway, but that's true. You only have to do your part. Here's the reality. He wants you to take what you have and steward it for his kingdom. That you are the trustee for what he's given you. You know, we say, well, but they've got more than I've got. He's got less than I've got. It doesn't matter. You're only responsible, we'll get to it in a minute, for what you got. And that's the idea he's trying to get across here. You know, in their day, the tithe, you're going to love this, was likely about 33 1/3%. Y'all have heard me talk about this before. It was huge because their government and their religion and their faith was all wrapped into one organization. So it was not like today. Y'all realize last Tuesday, thanks to the holiday in D.C., we had to pay taxes. That's not paid to the church. That's paid to the government. And if you didn't have to write a check this week, bless your heart, you know. For those of us who did, we wrote them, and we were glad to do it. Why? Because we live in a country that has good roads and decent government and all these great things that we are blessed with. But here, they're doing it all together. They bring it together. The tithe in their day and the contributions in their day was for three areas: the ministry of the temple, the ministry of the poor, and the ministry of what you and I call government. And the portion that's focused on the ministry of the temple or worship or religion is 10%. But here's what the people of God in Malachi's day were doing. They were living with this curse. They said, we're going to keep this for us and we're not going to do this for that. Tithing is just one area. But here's the disturbing big idea. As they refuse to be unfaithful in this area, what they're saying is this: we don't want to be under God's lordship. We don't do our own thing. And they haven't even noticed they're far from God. They were choosing their own pathways, their own solutions to life. And though they profess to follow God with their whole hearts, their actions show that they're very far from God. This constant curse continues. So what's the solution? See, we'd like to say, well, the solution is I better start tithing. Can I challenge you with a different thought here? The solution is this: a constant commitment. A commitment to God that in the end results in faithful action. If you put the action first, you're going to try to seek to force God to bless you. That's not how God works. Do you know, just because you're faithful in this particular area does not mean that God is automatically going to bless you on the other side. He doesn't call you to give so you can receive in the sense. The idea is he's going to bless us and take care of us, but that doesn't necessarily mean financial blessing. Look at the text. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Now remember, back in their day, they didn't write checks. They would bring a portion of their fruits and vegetables. They would be a portion of their crops. They would bring a portion of their livestock. They would bring these things, and they would have huge storehouses, places to store this vegetable, to store that fruit, to store these meats, to store this thing. Bring that full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. That was the idea there. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there's no more need. What he's saying is this: I'm not going to give you 100% fold just because you gave 10%. If you'll return to God $10, he's going to send you a check for $1,000. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is if we'll be faithful to God, he will take care of us until we have no need and bless us. The idea of faithfulness is a challenge, a repent to call, a repentance being the call, a disobedience. And Malachi says, here's the solution. Choose to be faithful. To make a constant commitment, not to tithe, but to God. Did you catch the difference? You go, are you telling us not to tithe? No, I'm telling you, be faithful to God. You with me? And out of that, you will say, I think there's some things that God would have me do as a child of God. He would probably, according to his word, want me to gather together on a regular basis with my brothers and sisters for worship. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. He would probably tell us to go and tell the nations, Matthew chapter 28, go and tell those around us about the gospel and let me take care of saving them. He would probably call us to get together with other believers in small groups from time to time for accountability and encouragement. He would call us to do these other things. This is merely one more step in that process of being faithful to God. As I make this commitment to God that says I'm going to be faithful, they just needed to go do it. See, instead of shaving off a top for their own use or redirecting the tithes of God to other places, they were told, if you're faithful to me, you will bring the tithe to the house of the Lord. It's like a test. You want to test God. Not in the sense that he's not faithful, but in the sense that if we're faithful to him, he'll be faithful and bless us and provide for our needs. So a couple of quick thoughts. Real quick thoughts. Number one, you only have to do your part. Do you know what you're faithful? You know what you're responsible for to God? I'm not responsible as an individual for what you do. As a pastor, that's a different story. We can talk about that another day. But as an individual, I'm not responsible for whether you're faithful to God or not. I'm responsible for one person. Who is that? Myself, just like you are. We are called to do our part. I cannot provide all the needs and resources for a church. I cannot witness to all the people on planet Earth. I cannot utter all the prayers. I cannot fill the pew by myself. I feel a lot of it by myself, but not all of it, okay? Y'all with me? The thought I want you to see is this. It's something that's conspicuously absent in this text, is any idea that I'm responsible for what others do. Now, your unfaithfulness can impact me negatively, I understand that, but the responsibility that you have, that I have, is for one. One. The one I look at in the mirror. You only have to do your part. See, the day's going to come when you and I have to stand before God, and he's not going to ask, did you tithe? He's going to ask you this, were you faithful? Were you faithful to do what I've called you to do? Boy, that's a scary thought, isn't it? Were you faithful to what I called you? Have you stewarded the resources which I entrusted you? He's going to ask. Did you faithfully and consistently return to the house a regular and generous tithe? Don't see tithing as a financial matter, even though it seems like it is. Ultimately, what it is a matter of faithfulness to God that says, I'm going to be faithful. I choose to be faithful. As a family, but even before we were a family, the first check that my home has always written as an adult, even as a teenager, it wasn't a check, it was cash back then, but the tithe is the first thing we do. I don't do it so that I can bless y'all. I don't do it so the church can stay open. I do it because God's what? Call me to do my part. That's all I have to do. Write my part. Carry my part. Just as the people of Malachi's day had decided to rob God, let's don't do that. Let's fan the flame of passion by being faithful in tithing and prayer and witnessing and all these other areas to have a passion for God that says, I want to be a part of the bigger picture. Because ultimately, the day will come, my friends, when you and I stand before holy God and we answer for what we've done of being faithful or not. Second area I want you to see is this. Open your eyes to God's reality. There's a whole lot more going around us than we ever perceive. And the moment you and I answered the call to holy God to become his child, we were brought into a bigger, broader reality that is amazing. For all intents and purposes, here's what happened. When you accept Christ, you move from a kingdom of selfishness to a kingdom of graciousness. From a kingdom of it's all about me to it's a kingdom of it's all about him. We live in a reality that is way bigger than us. The big idea that Malachi is presenting to the people this day, and I think which we need to be challenged with in ours, is simply this. Are we going to live within the greater, amazing, spectacular reality of God? Or are we going to live in our own little selfish world? You know, Jesus put it this way. He told his disciples in Matthew 16, if anyone would come after me, let him, what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life or his soul will lose it. But whoever loses his life, his soul for me and my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? You know, it's easy, especially in our culture, to allow our lives to become all about amassing wealth, about amassing a position, about getting what we want, about getting our desires fulfilled. And all along the way, we miss out on the greater reality of the kingdom of God at work, of which we are part if we are his children. There's a couple of songs that came to my mind. I won't sing them to you, but there's more to this life than living and dying and trying to make it through the day. There is something higher, greater, broader than we could ever imagine. And part of that is participating in the work of God by being faithful in this area. God set it up to work that way. The ministry of the local church is funded 100% by the faithfulness of his people. And he entrusts us to take care of that. One more thought, and I want you to see this, and I'll be done. All we really need is right here. Let me say that again. All we need is right here. I want you to see this thought. As we look at this passage, we look at it and go, oh, it's all about tithing, all about tithing. I really think it's way bigger than that, folks. It's about our heart, and it's about our attitude, and it's about being faithful to God is really what we're dealing with in this text. And I want you to see that. But what I want you to understand is this. Everything that God wants us to accomplish as a body of believers is already right here. And we sit back and go, oh, well, we need to have that. We need to have that. We need to do that. We need this. We need those. We need that. You know, and at times, if we're not careful, it's easy to sit back and think this if we don't actually utter this. I don't like the attitude of certain people, and I don't always agree with the decisions that are made, and I don't want to do that, so I'm not going to give my all to the Lord. Oh, my dear friends, why would you want to put yourself in that situation? Can I tell you something? I don't think I've ever been a part of a church where I agree with 100% of the decisions made by that church. Hello? You're going, but aren't you like the leader guy? Yeah. I don't always like the decisions we make. But that doesn't mean I can stop being faithful to God. Because everything he wants us to accomplish as a church is right here already. I get to be a part of that. I love what one of the preachers I used to hear when I was a kid say. He said, when I tithe, I get to get in on what God is up to. I get to be a part of it. You know how much we can accomplish if I was the only one giving? Not much. Couldn't even pay the electric bill. But by walking together, we can do everything God's called us to do. There is a charge here that Malachi shared with his people. They weren't returning the tithe. They weren't being faithful. And the result was this. The kingdom of God was suffering at that time. And I want you to grasp this idea that God calls us to be part of something bigger as his children. You know, if you're not a child of God here this morning, can I tell you something? God doesn't expect you to tithe. He doesn't expect you to witness. He doesn't expect you to be faithful in attendance and worship. He doesn't expect you to do any of the things that us who follow the Lord are called to do. We serve a God, my friends, who is not lacking, is not deficient. He has everything available right here. All we need is right here. The call is for us to be faithful in not just giving, but in witnessing, in praying, in worshiping, in discipleship, in ministry, in service, in mission, and to be faithful to what God has called us to. And as we faithfully give, what we find is God's blessing continues to flow through our lives. And as we faithfully return the tithe, we see the work of God's kingdom grow and expand in ways that we go, I didn't know he could do that. So let me ask you this as I close out. What's keeping you from returning to God what is already his? His tithe. Will you choose to obey God in this small area as well as the other areas? Or will you choose disobedience? My conclusion is this. God always blesses faithfulness. Will you choose faithfulness with the Lord? Father, we thank you for allowing us to look at this very familiar and yet, God, sometimes misused text. God, help us to see that you call us to a faithfulness that is broader and bigger than just this area. Father, help us to understand that as we work together, as we walk together, as we serve together, as we minister together, God, as we bring our resources that you've entrusted to us together, we're able to do the things you've called us to do. God, help us to learn to be faithful in all areas of service to you. And if we will, God, we find that you will continue to take care of us and provide for us. We pray for those in this place who need to make some type of decision. Father, maybe there's someone who needs to make a profession of faith for you, someone who needs to trust you, someone who needs to say, I need to be baptized and follow him in believer's baptism because I am following, or maybe someone who needs to connect to a local church. Our prayer, God, is that you would cause us to be faithful as you call us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. You respond as God leads you.